I want to welcome all those who may be visiting. I want to welcome our friends who are watching on television, satellite, the internet. We're glad that you're joining us today at Granite Bay. I hope you are all in a good mood because I'm going to talk about anger. And if you're already angry, this may go the wrong way. Message title today is dealing with what may sound like an oxymoron, the angry Christian. And you'll understand better as we proceed. You know, back in March this year, there was a plane that was traveling from Las Vegas to Hawaii. And sometime shortly after they finally passed over the Pacific Ocean, one of the passengers became very agitated because they asked for a blanket. I guess the plane was cold. And the flight attendant said it was $12 for one of their blankets. And he said, that's not reasonable. He said, you're the ones making the plane cold. And they said, we're sorry, that's just what it is for one of the blankets. And it turned into quite a stir. At one point then, the 66-year-old man threatened to take the flight attendant out to the woodshed. They weren't sure exactly what that meant, but they took it as a threat. And they were afraid, you know, if this fellow's got a temper and we get out over the middle of the Pacific Ocean, who knows what can happen at that point. So they turned back and they made an unscheduled landing there at LAX, Los Angeles, and everybody was delayed for hours. They escorted the man off the plane, probably wrecked his Hawaii vacation. Somebody commented later, they said, it cost the airline $12,000 to make that unscheduled landing because of a dispute over a $12 blanket. Anger. I think we all run into it, different parts of our culture, our life. A girl asked her father, what's the difference between anger and rage or exasperation? And the father replied, it's probably a matter of intensity. Anger is a very serious issue. You read first in the Bible where Cain became angry with his brother. And God asked Cain, why are you angry? If there's sin at the door, you need to deal with that. That anger in the heart of Cain led him to kill his brother. You know, I hesitate even telling you this, but it is an important point to consider. Got a phone call a few years ago while I was pastoring here in Sacramento, and a lady on the phone said, I want to know if you could do the funeral for my 10-month-old baby boy. And I said, well, let's talk. And she said, well, I've never met you, but I was watching your programs. I became convinced about obeying God's law. And my boyfriend and I were living in sin. We had a baby together. I said, we needed to get married or stop living like this. And we had several arguments about it. Finally, she said, I found a copy of the Ten Commandments and I was nailing it up on the wall. And my boyfriend flew into a rage. He took the hammer from me and he knocked me unconscious. He thought he'd killed me. The baby started crying when it heard the commotion. He then killed the baby. Then the landlord heard the ruckus. He broke in, shot the boyfriend. She came to, she had a concussion, some stitches, she recovered and said, so I want to know, can you do the funeral for our baby? Well, I and our associate pastor went up there and we did the funeral. It was very difficult. All of it happened because somebody lost their temper. Do you know when you lose your temper, you are, at least temporarily, demon-possessed. This man, I believe, was, it's almost like the devil took him over when she was nailing the Ten Commandments up. It made him so angry. You know, in the Revelation, it says, in the last days, the dragon comes down with great wrath against the woman who keeps the commandments of God. The devil's wrath towards the obedient knows no bounds. Just look at the cross. If you doubt that. So rage and anger is a relevant thing to consider in the last days. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, "I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Now don't miss that Jesus said, without a cause. Meaning, there may be a time when anger is appropriate. But he said, if you're angry without a cause, you're guilty in the judgment. It's like the first step towards murder. 1 John 3:12, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. So that's the answer why some people become angry, is because they're wrong. I think it was Charles de Gaulle that said, "When I'm right, I get angry." Winston Churchill, on the other hand, when he's wrong, he gets angry. So we often argue with each other because I'm right and he's wrong. What de Gaulle said. But it's true. Sometimes we become angry because someone's right. 1 John 3:15, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Well, maybe before we go any farther, it'd be a good idea to just, let's look at a simple definition. What is anger? Anger, a noun, a strong feeling of displeasure, belligerence, hostility, or wrath aroused by some real or perceived wrong. That's anger. Now, you might be surprised that there is good anger. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So, does God ever get angry? See, we are made in the image of God, and there is a passion, there is a righteous indignation, there is an appropriate emotion of anger that we should all have inside towards the just purposes. Jesus got angry. Mark 3:1, "And when he looked around them with anger," can't be misunderstood, "being grieved by the hardness of their hearts," they were mad that he was going to heal this man, "he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and he was restored." He became angry at their cold-heartedness. Moses became angry. Exodus 32:19. He came down the mountain after getting the Ten Commandments. And of course, there you again, you get the law. And the devil was mad at that, so he tempted everybody to sin. He saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Was that the right kind of anger? He was just so outraged that after they just made this covenant with God, Moses has the Ten Commandments still radiating in his hands with the writing of the hand of God, and he goes to the people, and they're breaking all Ten Commandments. And so there's a right time for anger. If you saw some old lady on the corner and some teenagers trying to steal her purse and wrestle it away from her, would you feel some indignation? Wouldn't you feel appropriate if you got a jawbone of a donkey and smote them hip and thigh? Wouldn't that be right? Yeah, there's a time for a righteous, justified anger. The early church father, John Chrysostom, said, "He who is not angry when he has cause to be sins. For unreasonable patience is the hotbed of many vices." In other words, not being angry when you should be angry can be a sin, because it can be an indifference, it can be a lukewarmness, that you're not outraged, but something that should be a problem. Mark 11:15. "So they came to Jerusalem, and they went into the temple, and he began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And he said, 'You've made my father's house a den of thieves.'" Now, I don't know if anyone went as far as Nehemiah in the Bible with the church, and hopefully the pastors will not ever have to resort to this, but Nehemiah says, "I contended with them and cursed them and struck some of them and pulled out their hair and made them swear by God, saying, 'You will not give your daughters as wives to the sons of the pagans, nor take their daughters to your sons.'" Nehemiah said, "This is how we got carried off to Babylon in the first place, and you're starting to do it again." And he flew off the handle. Now, I'm not saying everything you did was right, but there is a right kind of rage. Now, Wesley puts things in perspective. John Wesley, he said, "He that would be angry and sin not must not be angry with anything but sin." So the righteous anger is the anger against a sin of some form. Martin Luther became angry at the church's abuse of power. He said, "When I'm angry, I can write, I can pray, I can preach well. For then my whole temperament is quickened, my understanding is sharpened, and the mundane vexations and temperaments depart." When he saw the outrageous things that were happening in the church, he was animated by this righteous indignation. And if you've ever read any of Luther's writings, you could see that he did have a pretty animated nature, to put it mildly. I get angry in a good way sometimes. I'm riding down the road, or I'm flipping through the channels, and I watch Christian programming, and I hear pastors preaching doctrines of devils. I hear them preaching lies. I remember one time, I think you've probably heard me say, I was listening to a Christian radio program years ago, and up in the hills, just a transistor radio, Bible Answer program. It was actually Harold Camping. I can tell you that now, because he became infamous since then. And somebody asked about a lady call, and she said, "My son died in a car crash. He was drinking, struck a tree, died instantly. I just got to know, is he burning in hell right now?" And he kind of danced around the question, and she pressed him, and he finally said, "Well, yes, if he died lost, the Bible's pretty clear that the only other option would be if he's not with the Lord, he's now in hell burning." And you heard the kind of lady made a choking noise as she hung up. I got so mad, because it's not true that I drove 12 miles down to town to get a telephone, because I had no telephone back then, and called the radio program, which was still in progress. It was like, you know, a 90-minute program. And I got on the air. Anyway, I won't go into that story. And finally, I got my own radio program, so that's taken care of itself. But I thought that was a righteous kind of rage, that people were being misled, given a picture of God as sadistic. And so there's the right kind of anger, and it's appropriate to have that. And, you know, and sometimes it could even be displayed between believers. But most of the time, unfortunately, we don't know where that line is. Aristotle put it this way: anybody can become angry, that's easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose in the right way, that is not within everybody's power, and it is not easy. And a lot of times we think that our anger is the righteous anger, and it's not. In that classic book, The Desire of Ages, there the author says, "It is true, there is an indignation that is justifiable. And even in the followers of Christ, when they see that God is dishonored and his service brought into disrepute, when they see the innocent oppressed, a righteous indignation stirs the soul. Such anger, born of a sensitive morals, is not a sin. But those who at any supposed provocation feel at liberty to indulge in anger or resentment are opening the heart to Satan. Bitterness and animosity must be banished from the soul if we would be in harmony with heaven." Now, sometimes you ever become angry when you see the government wasting. You expect a little government waste, because, you know, you can't have a building project without some waste. But just the exasperating waste in government, does that ever stir you? And you feel like going postal, as they say. But Christians, you need to keep those kind of emotions in check. So we talked about what anger is, talked about good anger. What causes anger? Well, sometimes jealousy. Remember why King Herod was angry? He was exceedingly angry because he heard there was another king of the Jews, and he sent his soldiers through Bethlehem, and he killed all the babies. That's a diabolical anger that would want to destroy a child, as I mentioned in my story earlier. And what happens in Revelation? The dragon wants to devour the man-child. So the devil is enraged It was from a jealousy that his power is being threatened. Sometimes people become angry with frustration. You ever become angry because you feel like you're losing control? I remember when one of our boys, I don't remember right now which one it was, that they tried to put on my boots, and they must have been, you know, just 2 years old or something like that, and they put their feet in my boots, they tried to walk, and they kept doing this face plant. And they just getting madder and madder that they couldn't walk in the boots without tripping over. Well, the boots didn't fit, but I could see they were frustrated, and it was making them angry. Some of us never outgrow that. And we become angry when we feel like we're losing control. Sometimes we get angry when we are being challenged. Peter denied Christ, and after someone asked him the third time, and he knew he was wrong, he began to swear and to curse. Someone feels like they're unappreciated. They can become angry. That's often several of these reasons I'm giving you all kind of points back to selfishness and pride. When our pride's offended, we often get angry. Neglect. Potiphar's wife became angry when Joseph would not accept her advances, and she was willing to send him to jail. Then there's those who the anger doesn't happen all at once, but it comes as a result of storing things. They've got this mini storage. And there's some little offense, it's no big deal, they just let it go, but they remember it. And they file it. And then something else happens, they file it. You never know. But finally, they it's like you get frequent flyer miles. And then they send you on a free trip after a period of time. You ever meet anyone like that? It's kind of like a cow has about 5 stomachs, and their first stomach, they eat the grass, and they put it in the first stomach, and you think they're done eating. But actually, they've just got it in their stomach where they're going to bring it back up and chew the cud. And some people, things happen, and you think, oh, they swallowed it, it's okay. But no, they didn't. And they'll process it with you later. And so they store. And a lot of times, I said, it's hunger, or it's offended pride. Some people, they get angry when they're just tired. It might be chemical. They got low blood sugar. Karen and I always try to schedule our arguments for when we're tired and hungry. You can have your best ones then. And sometimes you just feed each other. And, you know, the problems seem to take care of themselves. But pride is a big problem. 1 Timothy 6:4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, revilings, evil suspicions. Now, what's the fallout of anger? Anger destroys communication. It generates fear. It scars relationship. And if the truth be told, there's a lot of people that are living with anger that is buried in their lives. A lot of marriages have unresolved anger. And so because there's no forgiveness because of slights or grievances or problems, and they might be justified. At one time, it might have been a righteous indignation. But you've never let it go. You've never forgiven. And so you cling to the anger. I've met people that have been angry for years with people that are dead. And you think, well, that's really sad. It's like if I let go of the anger, someone's got to stay angry at them. They're dead. They're in the grave. They don't know it. But they're destroying themselves with their anger. You know, I understand that medication connected with stress and anger is some of the leading sellers in the country. Antacids and all kinds of problems can be connected with anger. It's very expensive. Galatians 5:19, it is one of the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, here it is, outbursts of wrath. In Greek, that is a temper tantrum. I made that up. I don't know if it's really what it says in Greek, but it's basically what it is, an outburst. You ever seen a little baby when they start to like clench their fists and they grit their teeth and they hold their breath and their face turns red and their eyes are glaring and they stomp around until they get what they want? You ever seen in the market, some public market, you know, some kid doesn't get what they want on the aisle and they just lose it? And the parent, they're looking apologetic, you know, and they're wanting to find a way to get them out. Or worse yet, the parents don't do anything. and they let the kid just, you know, have a meltdown in front of everybody in the store. Some never outgrow that. They just hide it better. And they're having those same kind of emotions inside. Well, Will Rogers said, "Do not fly into a rage unless you're prepared for a rough landing. There are some serious fallout to anger." I read about how costly anger is. There's a professional athlete that made the mistake of hitting his coach, and he lost a $32 million contract. Anger's expensive. Some of you remember when Mike Tyson got angry during a boxing match, and so instead of just boxing with Evander Holyfield, he bit off a piece of his ear. Well, you realize he lost millions of dollars. I hope it tasted good, because that was the most expensive meal he had ever bought. Millions of dollars from that. And again, that flight I just mentioned over the Atlantic, $12,000 for a blanket. You know, if I was on that plane, I would have said, "Look, I'll pay for your blanket. Let's just keep going. Let's take up a collection. How many will give 50 cents for that blanket? And let's just get to L.A. and try and calm the guy down, you know." You know, Moses lost the promised land because he lost his temper. And I suppose if I had been leading the children of Israel, I probably would have lost it a lot sooner. But Moses had a temper. And you remember he killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand at the beginning of the 40 years. And then actually he did that when he was 40 years old. 80 years later, he loses his temper again. So you may be thinking, "I've got it under control for a while," and then you got to walk with the Lord. Some people say, "Well, you know, I lose my temper because I'm Spanish, I'm Italian, I'm Irish, I've got red hair. I'm English, I'm German, I'm, you name it." People say, "Well, I can't help it because I'm human." You ever heard that? "Got it from my mother, got it from my father. It's in the water." We've all got excuses for why we lose our tempers. There is no good excuse. Because when you lose your temper, when you have a tantrum, you are, as I said, basically giving yourself over to the devil. You're creating a window to do things you'll later regret. A bad temper is a very expensive commodity. Moses was not allowed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land because he lost his temper. Said, "Here now, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" And then he smote the rock. He began to beat the rock with his staff. God said, "You did not honor me before the people. I cannot use you." He was to be a type of Christ. Proverbs 25:28, "Whoever has no rule over his own life, over his own spirit, is like a city broken down without walls." Meaning the devil has access to your life. We need walls. You need self-control. A lady once came to Billy Sunday, the evangelist, and she tried to rationalize her bad temper. She says, "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper." She says, "I just blow up and then it's all over. I just go off and then it's all over." And he said, "Ma'am, so does a shotgun. And look at all the damage it leaves behind." People do and say things when they lose their temper that they often regret for years. Words are spoken in haste that not only cause scars in relationships, wars have been fought because some leader had a short fuse and he lobbed the first missile or hurled the first insult, and because they had a bad temper, people died. It shouldn't have a place among Christians. Anger will make you stupid. I was going to say just make you foolish because I got a verse for that, but I wanted to be more direct. It really does. It makes you do really dumb things. Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Now notice how Solomon said that. Do not hasten in your spirit. He doesn't say you should never be angry, but do not hasten to be angry, because anger rests, that means it stays, in the bosom of fools. Someone said anger will lessen your perceived IQ. Have you ever noticed that the emptier a pot is, the quicker it boils? The more shallow the water in the pot, the quicker it boils. If a person has a little depth, they're usually more controlled. Thomas Kempis said, when anger enters the mind, wisdom departs. Someone else said, an angry man is seldom reasonable, and a reasonable man is seldom angry. You got to be careful. People out there always giving everyone else a piece of their mind. You keep giving away enough pieces of your mind, you have nothing left. Anger will affect your IQ. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, we all boil, just at different degrees, so you want to be slow. Anger is bad for your health. We believe in the health message, right? We're living in the age of rage. And let me give you some Bible stories. 2 Chronicles 16:10, speaking of King Asa, a prophet told him that he was wrong, and Asa became angry with the seer, and he put him in prison, and he was enraged at him because of this. And notice the next thing it says, and Asa oppressed some of the people, and he became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. It's interesting, he said he was enraged, he was angry, he became diseased in his feet. Notice this, 2 Chronicles 26:19. Then King Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out in his forehead. Now, I'm sure there's something supernatural there, but don't miss the connection that he was enraged and he got terminally sick. And a lot of people are very conscious about the health message, and they wonder why they're not healthy. It's not because of what you're eating, it's because of what's eating you. And if we allow ourselves to be eaten up with anger, you can follow the health message, but you're going to be sick. Angry, cynical people die young. This was a study that was done back in 1989, but I think it's still relevant. They tested a variety of men, and those who scored high for hostility on the standard tests ended up becoming 4 times more likely to die prematurely than men whose scores were low. They also took another 27 men in Coral Gables, and they studied their heart blood distribution, and they asked them a bunch of questions, and they did physical tests and mental tests, and they finally said, think about something that made you really angry that happened. They measured the heart with all these very sensitive instruments. And they discovered that the one thing that affected the distribution of blood from the heart to the tissue the most was when they were thinking angry thoughts. It released chemicals in their body that restricted the blood vessels and affected the flow of the blood that affects your health. Living in sustained anger is not good. Psalm 37:8, King David said, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Someone else said, control yourself. Anger is only one letter short of danger. If you add D to anger, what do you have? Danger. Now, I don't have a lot of scripture for this, but I do have a couple. Anger makes you ugly. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will be a better witness for Christ if you're not an angry Christian. You want to do a test? Turn to the person next to you. Some of you have no one to turn to. You can turn to me. I want you to give them your angriest face when I count to three, okay? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now, count to three. I want you to give them, if you have no one else, you can give me, your pleasantest happy smile. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Which looks better? Hopefully it's their happy face. Ephesians 4:26, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, this verse has sometimes been misunderstood. Someone was interviewing an old Texan who had been married for 60 years, and they said, to what do you attribute your long and happy marriage? He said, well, we determined early on never to let the sun go down on our wrath. We wouldn't go to sleep until we resolved our differences. And he said, I have to tell you, there were weeks we didn't sleep. So it is a good idea to keep short accounts, But you know, sometimes you'll find if you do go to sleep, even if you are angry, it goes away in the morning. What you needed was a night's sleep. So a lot of times when there's disputes in families or marriages or whatever it might be, rest on it. And things sort themselves out sometimes in the morning. You get a different perspective and you realize it's not that big a deal. Don't ever discipline your children in anger. Don't ever lose your temper in front of your children. The three rules for raising children is example, example, example. There was an author for National Geographic. He was writing an article about the Amish people. And one day as he was visiting the Amish school, the thing that struck him was that none of the children in the playground ever raised their voices and yelled. They all played in a very kind, cooperative way. And he went to the schoolmaster. He says, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this. And he said, I don't ever see any of the Amish children yell at each other. And the schoolmaster said, have you ever heard Amish adults yelling at each other? He said, no, I haven't. He says, that's why you don't hear Amish children yelling at each other. When you see kids going ballistic in public, you wonder, what are they seeing at home? Not always, but it makes you wonder. Never discipline your children in anger. Jeremiah 10:24. O Lord, the prophet prayed, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. What if God disciplined us in anger? Well, he will someday for the lost. And what happens after the wrath of the Lamb? They don't survive. So if you don't want your Heavenly Father to discipline you in anger, you don't want to discipline others in anger. So what do you do? Whatever you do, do it slowly. There is a great quote from that classic book, Child Guidance. This is page 246. Harsh, angry words are not only always of heavenly origin. Scolding and fretting never help. Instead, they stir up the worst feelings in the human heart. When your children do wrong and are filled with rebellion, and you are tempted to speak and act harshly, wait before you correct them. Give them an opportunity to think. Allow your temper to cool. You're very rarely going to be just. You're very rarely going to say the right thing. If you lash out at your children, you might be tired, you might be hungry, you might be exasperated with the other problems in life. What they've done is a really small thing, and you just unload on them with all barrels from some little childish thing because you've lost your temper. What they were is they were just like the last straw. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever done it? As a parent, I have. I had other issues. I'm tired, a lot of stress, and the kids do something the kids do, a little thing, and then you just let them have it. And that's how they'll start coping with problems later in life, with anger. So, I've told you a little about the fallout of anger, some of the dangers. What are some tips for overcoming inappropriate anger? Because I've told you there's the right time to be angry. All right. Patience, one of the most important things. It says it over and over in the Bible. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger allays contention. You notice he says slow to anger. He doesn't say you never have anger. Again, Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his own spirit than he that takes a city. So you pray for the Spirit of God to give you patience and self-rule. Do you know the phrase slow to anger is mentioned 9 times in the Bible? It doesn't say don't be angry. It says slow to anger. You want to make sure that you've got the real reason to be angry. And I believe every Christian should have a little antifreeze in their veins. You know what antifreeze does? When it's too cold, it'll keep the car radiator from freezing, and when it's too hot, it keeps it from boiling over. And we sort of all need a little Holy Spirit antifreeze in us to help us stay on an even keel. Someone said, your temper is one of the most valuable possessions. Don't lose it. It was a qualification for leadership in the church. Titus 1:7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered. You've got to get the slow to wrath. not given to wine, not violent or greedy for money. Abraham Lincoln had an interesting habit. One time, his secretary Stanton came to him, and he was just outraged by something someone else in the government had done. And Lincoln said, "I think you ought to write a letter, tell him exactly how you feel." So Stanton spent a day and a half writing this letter. He brought it to Lincoln. He said, "So, should I mail it now?" He said, "No, don't mail it." He said, "Throw it away now." He said, "You probably already feel much better." He says, "Now write one that's discreet and diplomatic." Have you ever done that? Someone does something, or they mistreat you, or they do something inconsiderate, and you type out an email, and there's just smoke coming off the keys, you know, and you have all the right words, and you look at it, and the longer you look at it, you think, "Well, maybe I ought to change that word. Well, I don't need that line in there. I'll delete that one." And don't ever send an email when you're angry, because you can't undelete, you can't unsend, you know what I mean? And you send something when your blood's boiling, and later you say, "Oh, I overreacted," or "Now that person will never be a friend again. All I need to do is think about it a little more." Write the letter, but use a pencil and paper. Don't do it on your keyboard. You might bump the send button. You ever press send by accident before you're done with something? So Lincoln would, he'd often write a letter, and then he'd throw it away, and then he'd write a diplomatic one. But his first letter, he said, "Boy, I wrote some doozies." But then you get it out of your system. James 1:19, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Pray when you're angry. Sometimes when you're angry, you will feel like praying the least, but it is when you feel like praying the most. It doesn't help if the person you're angry at, if they're asking you to pray, but you may need to. Claim the promises of God. The Bible's full of exceeding great and precious promises, like Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ." It's hard to be angry when you realize, hey, Jesus died on the cross for this person's sins. He died on the cross for my sin. What right do I have to be so angry at them? You know something that helps me not be angry with people? I hear about folks who say they're angry at God. And if you trust that God is good, you usually work your way through that. But when you get angry at people, I think about that parable in Matthew 18 of the unmerciful debtor who is forgiven 10,000 talents. And God has forgiven us so much that what right do I have for the little offenses that we have with each other? The other thing that helps me is I remember that the Lord loves everybody, and sinners are going to do diabolical things because they're being tempted by the devil. So if people do devilish things, that's to be expected if they're lost. You've got to love even those people. Jesus said, "Love your enemies," right? He didn't say, "Be angry at them." Give them a piece of your mind. A soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. There's an interesting example of this in the book of Judges, chapter 8. Gideon, when he was fighting against the Midianites, he did not call the tribe of Ephraim to go with him to battle, and they felt left out of the victory. They, on their own, they went out and they fought against the princes of the Midianites, and they were going to now have a civil war with Gideon. And it says, I'm reading now, Judges 8:1. "Now the men of Ephraim reprimanded him so sharply, and he said to them, 'What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God's delivered into your hands the princes of Midian and Oreb. What was I able to do in comparison with you?' Their anger towards him subsided when he said that." He gave them a gentle, delicate, soft answer, and it defused the whole thing that could have turned into a civil war. Grievous words stir up strife. If you're in an argument with somebody, and even if you're right, you might need to look your eyes down and say, "You know, I'll listen to that. I see what you're saying." And just let a person vent sometimes. Don't feel like you got to tell them how wrong they are. A soft answer in marriages, a soft answer turns away wrath. Anger is quieted by a gentle word, just as fire is quenched by water. Some people will lose their temper because they see you're keeping yours. When you're angry, someone said, always count to 10 before you say anything. It'll give you time to come up with an appropriate insult. I used to say, you know, if you're angry, go cook a pot of pinto beans, because that takes a while. By the time the pinto beans are done, if you get pinto beans for dinner, then that ought to tell you something. No, it usually just takes time. You need to think about it. Except we're not in control. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Get some physical exercise. Sometimes you're angry, you might need to just go out and run and get some endorphins released in your body, and you'll start feeling better. Have a sense of humor. Sometimes we get angry at things you could actually laugh at. Heard about this baseball player in the Chicago Cubs, Andre Dawson. He got into a dispute over what he thought was a bad call by an umpire, Joe West. And because he became angry during the dispute, he was fined $1,000. So when it came time for him to write out his check for the fine of $1,000, he put in the description of the check, donation for the blind. Because he's saying the umpire was blind. It took something, could have made him angry, and I guess he got one final dig. Get enough rest. Sometimes people who struggle with the emotions of anger, it's just they're stressed. They don't have enough rest. And I might add, caffeinated drinks, and there's so many options in the society today, will create stress. They got kids that are checking into hospitals now because their hearts are racing, and they're finding out it's because they're drinking so much caffeine. But some people become irritable. They're tired, ticks off an argument. Along with that, listen to good music. Very few people say, let's listen to Beethoven and start a war. You know what I mean? And so sometimes the right kind of music will calm you down, and let's face it, the wrong kind of music. Whenever I saw people fighting at a rock concert, they weren't playing classical guitar. The wrong kind of music will actually speed your heart up and do bad things to you. You know, God wants us to be Christians. There's a time to be angry and sin not. But most of the times, our anger causes harm. We need to pray that God will give us His Spirit. Anger is destructive. Someone told me that in Yellowstone, they've got a lodge where you can see on display a pair of large elk antlers. It's actually two pair of antlers that are interlocked. There's no elk attached to them. What happened is these male elk got into a war and their horns got locked, and then they couldn't eat and they both slowly starved to death. So who won? You realize that the reason you and I have hope of salvation is because after the devil did everything he could to get Jesus to react at the cross, through his trial, through his torture, they did everything they could to provoke Christ. You name something that can be done to make a person lose it, and Jesus never lost it. Because he did not lose his temper, we can find salvation. And so he set an example for us. He was thinking about us when he kept his cool. Jesus didn't come to make us stressed. He came to give us peace. He says, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Be anxious for nothing. Fear not. So many times people are angry because they don't have peace. And the Lord is giving you a peace that the world doesn't understand. A peace that passes understanding. I want that peace, don't you? It's an abiding peace. Peace like a river that goes on. And we're going to pray for it, and we're going to sing about it. So why don't we turn to 466. We'll invite our song leaders to come up. Pray God gives us that peace. And if we're going to be angry, let's do it as Christians do. Otherwise, let's be at peace.